Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And for those of you who are listening to this on the internet, that is wonderful, but you can also listen on the phone. And those numbers are 401-347-0456. And 712-432-7231. So depending on your connectivity, you have a number of ways that you can participate and listen to our radio station here at the Progressive Radio Network. Heart of Mind is a program that features primarily the journey of our spiritual nature. It connects to the physical in our life, our body, and our well-being overall. It recognizes, however, that the state of our spiritual health and our energetic health underpins the quality of our being. So very often, for those of us who get into states of depression, or if you're feeling your immune system slightly compromised, or maybe even you're at a more advanced state of being not in the best of health, then a good path to find your way back is through your spirituality and an understanding of your energetic body. As well, for those of us who are substantially feeling okay within our lives, in our body, in our health, in our state of mind, there's an opportunity as well to go beyond being okay and reaching a truly deep state of connection and understanding of who we are as beings. And one of the things that really tends to destabilize our lives, I would say, is the happenings around the world or the news. There are so many stories and so many things that go on that cause us to have our energy level sink, have our state of mind fall into confusion and depression. And I was looking at a couple of these stories. There's a superbug in Seattle that contaminated people in hospitals by the use of the scopes that they use to view the interior of our body. And another story was the death of the Saudi Arabia King Abdullah, and they're talking about all the controversy that might arise from that transition in power. And I find that when we hear all these stories, when we feel like the world is going crazy, the best place to go is inside of our beings. And it's within us that we can find that deep connection and that sense of peace. And I'm going to share with you today the work of two people. You've heard both of them on this program, Adya Shanti and Andrew Harvey. And I'm going to play an excerpt first of Adya Shanti. And he's the author of The Way of Liberation, Resurrecting Jesus, Falling into Grace, and The End of Your World. He's an American-born spiritual leader devoted to serving the awakening of all beings. And we're going to hear, we need to approach meditation with an attitude of innocence. Enlightenment returns us to the natural state of being and our natural tendency to awaken. And after that, we'll introduce and hear from Andrew Harvey. So let's hear Adyashanti.
Now, I think for a lot of people in today's spiritual marketplace, everybody has some idea of meditation, whether you've been on a spiritual path or been in any sort of religion. Everybody at least has heard about meditation. Now, ideas about meditation are usually colored by our past conditioning, what we've learned, what we think meditation is, where we think it should go. But it's very useful to start out with realizing that meditation can serve a whole array of agendas. So people meditate sometimes for better physical health. They meditate for better emotional health. They meditate to learn how to still their bodies, to still their minds. Some people meditate to open up certain subtle energy channels within their bodies. Sometimes those are called chakras. Some people meditate to develop love, to develop compassion. Some people meditate in order to achieve altered states of consciousness. Other people meditate to try to come upon certain spiritual powers or psychic powers, or sometimes called in spirituality cities, which is basically spiritual powers. And then there's also meditation which can be an aid towards spiritual awakening and enlightenment. And this is the meditation which is an aid towards spiritual awakening or enlightenment that really interests me, that really is what true meditation is all about. And so whether one is brand new to meditation or one has meditated for a very, very long time, what I have found is it really doesn't make any difference what your history is. What matters is the attitude that we engage the process of meditating in. That's what matters. And the most important thing is that we come to meditation with a really open attitude, an attitude that's very innocent, which means an attitude that's not colored by the past, by what we've heard about meditation, through culture, through media, through our various spiritual and religious traditions. But we come to the whole notion of meditation in a way that's fresh and innocent. My experience as a spiritual teacher is that I meet a lot of people as I travel around and talk to people. And I've met a lot of people that have meditated for many, many years, often decades. And one of the most common things I hear about is people come to me and say they've meditated for many, many, many years, and yet they remain, or they feel that they remain, essentially untransformed. So this deep inner transformation, this deep inner spiritual revelation that meditation offers is something that eludes a lot of people. It eludes a lot of people that are long, long, long time meditators. And so as I travel around and talk to people, I find that a lot of people are either confused about meditation or disillusioned because they've meditated for many years. Maybe they've had lots of various types of spiritual experiences through meditation. But in the end, often people feel untransformed, or they feel that the meditation they're doing hasn't actually led them to where they actually wanted to go. And I would suggest that there's actually some very good and specific reasons why often the meditation that a lot of people are engaged in, including the kind of meditation that I was engaged in for a certain period of time, that the very meditation we do, the attitude with which it is carried out, is the reason why meditation can often lead into sort of a dead end in a certain sense. By that I mean that a lot of time meditation does not lead to the state of transformation that it's promised. And one of the reasons for this is actually extraordinarily simple, and therefore it's very easy to miss, is that the state, what we could call the awakened state of being or the enlightened state of being, could also be called the natural state of being. So enlightenment is, in the end, it's nothing more than the natural state of being. That's basically what enlightenment is, if you strip it down of all the complex terminology and all the complex jargon. Is enlightenment is simply returning us to our natural state of being. And so natural, of course, means a state of being which is not contrived, a state of being which does not need effort and discipline to maintain, a state of being which is not being enhanced by any sort of manipulation of the mind or the body. In other words, a state of being that's completely natural and completely spontaneous. And herein lies one of the reasons why a lot of meditation doesn't lead to the natural state, because a lot of techniques of meditation are actually, when you look at them very closely, they're means of control. That often the disciplines and the techniques we're given in meditation are given to the mind, and there are various ways for the mind to learn to control and guide experience. And as long as the mind is controlling and guiding our experience, it's very seldom that it's going to lead to a natural state where we are not controlled by the mind. When the mind is involved in control and manipulation, it can often lead to various states of consciousness. You might even learn how to still your mind. You might come into psychic powers. You can achieve a lot of things through a technique of meditation that is basically technique-oriented or manipulation-oriented. But what you can't do is come upon your own natural and spontaneous way of being through a form of manipulation. This would seem totally obvious. This would seem the most obvious thing. It would seem that it would be completely obvious to anybody that I'm not going to come to a natural and spontaneous way of being through inner control and manipulation. And yet somehow it eludes us, right? It eluded me for years. And of course, the fault isn't necessarily with the meditation itself. Or it's often not even with the technique, although the technique we use can have a profound influence. The problem usually lies most profoundly in the attitude in which we engage meditation. And if our attitude is an attitude of control, of manipulation, if our attitude is one where we think we're going to master a discipline, then it's the attitude that gets in the way. Because then it's actually the mind or the ego that's meditating. And of course, in terms of enlightenment or spiritual awakening, we're talking about awakening from the mind and awakening from the ego. So in what I call true meditation, this tendency of mind to control and to manipulate and to be disciplined is let go of from the very beginning. This really forms the foundation of what I call true meditation. And this is a immensely simple, as funny as that sounds, an extraordinarily simple beginning to meditation, which is to let go of control, let go of manipulation. When people sit in the way I'm speaking about, when they meditate in the way I'm speaking about, when they allow everything to be as it is, our natural tendency is to awaken. That's the natural tendency. We are hooked up to awaken. We're biologically, psychologically, and spiritually, we're hooked up to move towards awakening. A lot of people don't know that. And so when we let go of the control that the ego has, the nature of our sense, of our being, is to awaken. Now, of course, people come to me from their own traditions of meditation, and when I suggest that they let go of control and they might let go of their technique, what they often find is when they start to let go of a meditative technique that they're used to using and they allow everything to be as it is, that initially their mind may wander a bit. And that's natural, because when we've been holding on to something very tightly, the tendency is that when we let it go, it wants to escape. It's like holding your pet dog on a leash. When you take the leash off, the tendency of the dog is to run. And so that's what our minds tend to do. If we've leashed our mind very tightly in a disciplined way, when we let go of that leash, the tendency of the mind is to run around. But if we actually just allow that to happen for a while, it's like letting a dog off a leash. They may run away from you very quickly, but if you just kind of hang out, eventually your dog usually decides that it wants to wander back up to your feet. In a very similar way, when you let go of controlling your mind, it may go a little noisy for a while, but if you really let it be as it is, its tendency is to come back more and more into a state of harmony or a state of quietness. And when we allow everything to be as it is, since the nature of our entire being is to awaken, what often happens when you allow everything to be as it is in a deep way, that eventually repressed material within your psyche will emerge. In fact, it's often the repressed material that a lot of spiritual students are using their meditation techniques unconsciously as a way to suppress material. They often don't know they're doing it, but they're doing it nonetheless. And so when we let go and really open and allow things to be as they are, it's not uncommon at all to have certain suppressed material come up, which can be shocking. It may be all of a sudden you may have a fit of anger in your meditation, or a fit of sadness. You may find yourself weeping. You may find various memories that will come through your consciousness and reveal themselves. You might have physical pains. People report various pains in various parts of their bodies that will arise when we allow everything to be as it is. The nature of our entire being is when we really start to let go, what needs to arise to the surface arises to the surface. And the mind may not want it to arise to the surface. As I said, many spiritual people unknowingly are using their spiritual techniques and discipline as a way of suppressing their unconscious. And so when we stop suppressing, our unconscious starts to come up and reveal itself. Now, all this material does not necessarily, it does not need to be analyzed. Nothing really needs to be done with it except allow it to reveal itself. Because what arises, for the most part, is unresolved conflict within us. Emotions that we never allowed ourselves to feel fully. Experiences we never allowed ourselves to experience fully. Pains we never allowed ourselves to feel fully. All of this arises. And everything within us that's unresolved, all it wants is to be experienced fully without going unconscious. So when our suppressed material arises, and we can allow it to arise without going unconscious, which means without suppressing it and without analyzing it, but allow it to be experienced in the body, in the being, and just let it unfold, you find that whether it's emotional, psychic, physical, spiritual, whatever, that this material has a tendency to arise, reveal itself, be experienced, and then pass away. And if it doesn't tend to pass away, you can always be sure that somewhere you're still resisting it, or denying it, or indulging it. Which is a good thing to know, because it's the opportunity to let go of that once again, and things can come to a certain state of harmony. So just because we allow everything to be as it is doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to stay, certainly initially, totally peaceful and totally silent. Because, of course, this is an awakening program, right? This is not just how to feel better. This is not how to suppress yourself so you feel better. This is how to wake up to the reality of your being. And we wake up to the reality of our being through our human nature. Not by avoiding it, not by going around it, not by trying to pray it away or mantra it away or meditate it away, but by letting everything within us reveal itself, be felt, be experienced, be known. And then, and only then, can we move on to the deeper level. It's very, very important spiritually. It's something a lot of people don't understand spiritually. It's very easy to use meditative techniques to suppress your human experiences, to suppress things you don't want to feel. But as I speak about it, it's just the opposite. It's the space in which everything gets revealed, everything gets seen, everything gets experienced, and in so doing, it lets go of itself. We don't even let go, it lets go of itself. One of the most common questions I get is about fear. And fear is often a very common part of the spiritual path. When people sit down and they meditate, it's not at all uncommon that at some point to have fear arise within them. And especially in this sort of meditation where we're endeavoring actually to let go of control and to let go of manipulation, in most human beings, it will often give rise to a certain fear. Because the egoic mind is very, very afraid of letting go of control and of what may happen. As well as that, there's also the fear of that can come from spiritual inquiry, where we look within and see that we don't actually exist as a separate entity. And when the mind looks in and sees this, this also can engender fear, sometimes a mild fear and sometimes a great amount of fear. It's really the mind contacting the unknown. And when the mind contacts something that it doesn't know, that it doesn't understand, it very often goes into fear. And we're also taught that if fear arises, that some mistake has been made, that fear must mean danger. But in spirituality, it's important to remember that fear doesn't necessarily mean danger. Actually, fear often means that we're actually going to a much deeper place inside of ourselves. So if fear arises, the wisest thing to do is actually simply to let the fear arise. Feel it in your body. Notice that your mind tends to create stories and ideas about the fear, but recognize that these stories aren't really true, and just let the fear be experienced, because fear is often a doorway. It's just something that you must walk through. And when you are willing to walk through the fear, to experience it and see what's underneath it or deeper, then fear has served as the doorway. And it doesn't always mean that something has gone wrong. Actually, in spirituality, fear often means that something is beginning to go right, which means you're starting to go to a much deeper place within yourself.
And that was Adyashanti. And it was really an introduction into, for people who are approaching meditation for the first time or have approached meditation and really are not understanding it and not getting anything out of it. I often hear people say, well, you know, I try to meditate and I just come up with all the lists of things that I need to do and thoughts about this and that. And really, you know, the best thing is to, when this occurs, rather than follow with those lists and those thoughts, just kind of recognize, oh, there it is, and then come back and, you know, go into the meditation and just allow your mind to be as it is. And over a passage of practice, you'll be able to reach a much deeper state within yourself. And it's that deeper state, really, where healing can occur. And as Adyashanti was talking about the past arising within you, and that past might be memories or emotions or physical pain, that is actually part of the process of healing. When I work with people in getting through some of these blocks and becoming, getting into a state of healing or a healed state of being, this is part of what the work is. It's to really feel into that energy of the block, feel into that emotion that's coming to the surface, because it's those discordant emotions and memories and wounds that, when they stay in your body, create illness within your body. They either create a lot of tension or leading to hypertension, or it can create blockage in the cells of your body, leading to the formation of tumors and other kinds of diseases. So there's a really deep connection to our physical body, our emotional body, our energetic bodies, and our spiritual body. And you can think of it all as being layers of one whole, and one impacts the other. Just like a fruit, if there's something in the center of the fruit, if an insect bores into the center of the fruit, then it'll rot from the inside out. If fruit falls on the ground and is not picked up, it'll rot from the outside in. And in our own body system, the problem can start in any one of these areas. And the healing process is to bring it into your conscious awareness and allow it to be expressed through you. And it may feel as it's expressing like a crisis, but it's truly not a crisis. It's the mechanism of release, allowing that pent-up energy or that old wound or that illness that's been developing in your body over many years. It allows it to begin to dissipate. And energy healing is one way of doing it. It's a more of an express route to getting to the root of some of these issues. Meditation is another way of getting to the root of some of the issues that may be blocking you. And we might wonder, well, what is at the other end of all this? And really what happens is that once you've moved through a series of these blocks, then what happens is that it's like opening up a gate and allowing you to reach deeper into the fullness of your being. And that fullness is what connects you to the spiritual world, the soul embodiment of yourself. And it's in that part of you that you can begin to experience that bliss of divine experience, that sense of expansion and being a part of everything. And, you know, the words are really just words, but there is a true feeling and experience and vibration of this, where you can actually, your body will feel lighter, your body will feel more expansive. You can actually feel that connection to the natural world and to the larger world of spirit and creator. So it's a very powerful way of connecting to that part of yourself that we don't normally recognize in our everyday world, that our social systems actually are designed to discourage that connection to the deeper self. Because when we're connected to the deeper self, we're much more resistant to the manipulation of media and the manipulation of corporatism and addictive behaviors of buying and you know, engaging in different kinds of behaviors, which in a lot of ways are just ways of blocking that passage. And we block it because it can be painful, and we are fearful of that, and we might think that something is going wrong, that we're dying, that you're in a state of depression to the point of wanting to die. And so when we go through some of these things that might have occurred in our life or in this lifetime or others, it can be a bit of a shaking a bit of a like an earthquaking, but it's a body quaking as these things come through. But once they are through, you're able to return to that pristine, the pristine of the lake, the pristine of a clear sky. We're going to break for a few station announcements, and then we'll be back with some advice by Andrew Harvey. Stay tuned. And welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. I'm Catherine. And in the second segment, we're going to hear from Andrew Harvey, who is an author, religious scholar, and leader of mystic, and teacher, rather, of mystic traditions, known primarily for his popular nonfiction books on spiritual, mystical themes, beginning with his 1983 A Journey in Ladakh, and it includes The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism, Heart Yoga, and Teachings of Rumi. And we're going to hear a couple of pieces by Andrew Harvey that includes his perspective as an introduction to meditation. But it's really wonderful because it includes some of the wisdom teachings from around the world. And also he's going to do a relaxation for you, Transforming Fear and Anxiety. And for those of you who enjoy the work of Andrew Harvey, you can participate, rather have download a free program created by Andrew Harvey. It's called Becoming a Divine Human. Have you hungered for a complete approach to spiritual awakening? And so you can find out more about that on my website, heartofmindradio.com, and you will find a link which you can go to and register for this free program. But now let's go to Andrew Harvey.
Before we begin our adventure together into meditation, it is essential to dedicate everything that we feel, all the insights we gain, and all the joys we experience to the happiness of all sentient beings everywhere in the universe. We meditate to enter into the ground of our deep selves and to come to know our soul and to come to know the peace and the joy and the stillness and the strength and the courage and the power that are native to our soul. But we want to know these things not simply to bring ourselves peace of mind, but so as to become real instruments of the divine in the world. And so it is very, very important, before we begin to meditate, that we make an inner act of dedication of everything that we experience to the salvation of all beings everywhere. By the power and truth of these practices, may all beings know happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from sorrow and the causes of sorrow. May all beings never be separated from the sacred happiness which is sorrowless. And may all beings live in peace of mind without too much attachment or too much aversion, and live believing in the equality of all that lives. And now, to inspire and perfume our minds with the truth of the soul and the truth of the divine presence that is always guarding us and trying to take us deeper into its essence, let me read to you four great mystic texts from four of the world's great mystical traditions. This is a blessing litany from the Native American tradition. It is used by the Chinook tribe of Oregon. We call upon the earth, our planet home, with its beautiful depths and soaring heights, its vitality and abundance of life, and together we ask that it teach us and show us the way. We call upon the mountains, the Cascades and the Olympics, the high green valleys and meadows filled with wildflowers, the snows that never melt, the summits of intense silence, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the waters that rim the earth, horizon to horizon, that flow in our rivers and streams, that fall upon our gardens and fields, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the land which grows our food, the nurturing soil, the fertile fields, the abundant gardens and orchards, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the forests, the great trees reaching strongly to the sky with earth in their roots and the heavens in their branches, the fir and the pine and the cedar, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the creatures of the fields and forests and the seas, our brothers and sisters, the wolves and deer, the eagle and dove, the great whales and the dolphin, the beautiful orca and salmon who share our home, and we ask them to teach us and show us the way. We call upon all those who have lived on this earth, our ancestors and our friends, who dreamed the best for future generations, and upon whose lives our lives are built, and with thanksgiving we call upon them to teach us and show us the way. And lastly, we call upon all that we hold most sacred, the presence and power of the great spirit of love and truth which flows through all the universe, to be with us, to teach us and show us the way. Secondly, I would like to read from the Tao Te Ching. The way is unimpeded harmony. Its potential may never be fully exploited. It is as deep as the source of all things. It blunts the edges, resolves the complications, harmonizes the light, assimilates to the world. Profoundly still, it seems to be there. I don't know whose child it is, before the creation of images. From a Hindu masterpiece, the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. All is change in the world of the senses, but changeless is the supreme Lord of love. Meditate on him, be absorbed in him, wake up from this dream of separateness. No God and all fetters will fall away. No longer identifying yourself with the body, go beyond birth and death. All your desires will be fulfilled in him who is one without a second. Know him to be enshrined within your heart always. Truly, there is nothing more to know in life. Meditate and realize the world is filled with the presence of God. The self is hidden in the hearts of all, as butter lies hidden in cream. Realize the self in the depths of meditation, the Lord of love, supreme reality, who is the goal of all knowledge. This is the highest mystical teaching. This is the highest mystical teaching. And lastly, let me read you some wonderful and powerful words of Jesus as spoken in St. Matthew's Gospel. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. We have dedicated what we are going to do to the happiness of all beings, and we have allowed our minds to be perfumed with those revelations. What I want to offer now is a meditation that I have found invaluable in transforming fear and anxiety of all kinds into peace of mind. Imagine before you a vast, black, boiling darkness. In this darkness boils all the agony, all the terror, all the horror and greed and chaos of nature and the world. In this darkness boils together everything that you have ever feared, everything that you detest, everything that makes your mind go dark with pain and fear and shame. This darkness is all-encompassing. It sweeps from horizon to horizon and is so powerful that a part of you feels that at any moment it could annihilate you. Don't run away from the darkness. Don't turn away from the darkness. Allow the full force of this terrible black power of pain and evil in the world to strike you. And then, as you allow the force to strike, hear a quiet voice from within you say, every fear or anxiety you fling into the darkness with real trust and joy will turn into a star. Armed with the certainty of what the voice is telling you, now imagine that every fear that naturally arises within you, you seize, you take by the scruff of its neck, and with the full power of your whole being, you fling it into the core of that boiling darkness where it explodes and becomes the most brilliant imaginable star that now radiates pure white light in front of you. And as each fear arises, you do the same thing. You keep flinging each fear, each anxiety, each horror, each repulsion. You keep flinging it into the core of that darkness. And each time you fling it with full fervor into the core of that darkness, it explodes and becomes a star. And slowly, slowly, you notice something amazing. That the stars that you yourself are creating in the core of that darkness by flinging into its depth all of your fears and anxieties, those stars aren't simply in a random pattern glowing there. They are forming the eyes and hands and limbs of that divine being that you most deeply worship. You yourself are creating by the fervor of your belief in your capacity to transform fear into joy. You yourself are creating from that belief the divine being that you most cherish in the sky in front of you. And as that clarity becomes more and more dazzling to you, and as you see the face of that being appear, and the arms appear, and the hands appear, and the legs appear, you keep on flinging fear after fear, anxiety after anxiety, repulsion after repulsion, right to the core of the darkness, building the divine being, now with more and more fervor and more joy. A great secret is becoming clear. You begin to realize that it is your courage and your trust that awaken in your inmost being the divine image that you worship and that you now know is your deepest identity. Slowly and wonderfully, that being appears before you in the sky, created out of your own powers of trust, your own longing to be freed from fear, so as to enter and enact your deepest nature and the divine courage natural to it. Now, the being is alive in light in the core of the darkness. Allow the bliss streaming from its eyes, the fire of the light streaming from its limbs, and every fold of whatever it is wearing to sweep your whole being again and again, removing as it does so the terror and anxiety and fear that still remain. As you are filled more and more completely with the peace and force of the divine being you have created out of yourself, the darkness in front of you also starts to drain away. As you begin to burn in love and gratitude, and to resolve more and more strongly to remain adamant in courage, the light grows more and more powerful, and the entire darkness, that darkness that seems so overwhelming, so annihilating, that stretched from horizon to horizon, the entire darkness starts to dissolve. At last, there is nothing but you and the sweetly burning diamond light of God, united beyond thought, and stretching from one side of the horizon to the other. Rest in the great peace that that brings and the fearlessness that radiates from that peace. Rest in your identity with the light. And as you come out of the meditation, pray to whomever you have created out of your fear in the light, to whatever divine being you worship. Pray and say, please free all beings from fear. Awaken your courage in each heart. Unite us all in a humble passion to serve all beings and protect and preserve your world.
And that was Andrew Harvey. And I thought it was a very powerful presentation because he has his own way of creating this inner picture that allows you to work with your inner fear and transform it into light. And Andrew Harvey actually has a program online that you can access for free. It's called Becoming a Divine Human. And it speaks about a complete approach to spiritual awakening that fuses heaven and earth, masculine and feminine, stillness and action into one alchemical path. Becoming a Divine Human, and that's by Andrew Harvey. And if you take yourself online, excuse me, and go to my website, it's called heartofmindradio.com, you'll be able to link there to this offer. And it's free. You do have to link in and register, and then you can download. I believe it's four separate programs. And so that's just an opportunity that I hope you will take advantage of. And when you travel there to the website, heartofmindradio.com, you can connect with the various things, the various broadcasts, as well as join my register for a monthly newsletter in which I will be able to send you other kinds of things that are happening in the world as well as within my own work. And on today we heard from two people, Andrew Harvey as well as Adya Shanti. If you want to find out more about Adya Shanti, the first recording is adyashanti.org, and that's A-D-Y-A-S-H-A-N-T-I, adyashanti.org. And you can find more about Andrew Harvey on his website, andrewharvey.net. And it's spelled the way it sounds, A-N-D-R-E-W-H-A-R-V-E-Y, andrewharvey.net. And you can connect and find out more about his work as well. I wanted to also invite you to consider taking a personal approach to this process of meditation and relaxation and healing. And for those of you who would care to join me, I'll be offering a meditation and Qigong class this coming Sunday, January 25th. It'll be at 1 p.m. at the Healing Center in Brooklyn, from which I work. And that's 110 Bay Ridge Avenue. It's a second floor walk up in Brooklyn. And you can look it up on MapQuest through the zip code 11220, 110 Bay Ridge Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11220, between Colonial Road and Narrows Avenue. And it's the R train to Bay Ridge Avenue in Brooklyn for those who want to participate. But, however, the space is not large. It's big enough for a small number of people, maybe 10 people at the most. So please do RSVP. You can do that by calling 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. And if you wish to explore the work that I am doing in the world, you can do that by going to the website, and it's spelled with a Q, Qigong Online, Qigongonline, qigongonline.net. That's qigongonline.net. And you'll be able to see the various work that I do in terms of meditation and healing and teaching. And so this is an invitation for you to go deeper into the process of transformation and really beginning to embody the life as you would dream it to be. That's the real purpose of our being here, is to be able to dream our life into a magnificent manifestation, into really being and having and doing the things that we dream. That's the purpose of our dreams, so that we can take them from the dream world into our real world, the world that we walk and breathe and live within. And if that's not how things are going for you, or you're moving along that path and want to, you know, bump it to a higher level, then please do consider engaging with some of this work. It's very powerful. And I will be back next Friday. And next Friday I'm going to be speaking about some of my personal mystical experiences I've had. Quite a number of them over the last few years as we've been moving through this transitional period of shifting from the Dark Ages to the Golden Ages, which is really where we are beginning to be. And I've had a lot of very interesting mystical experiences and lucid dreams that I have found to be great guidance on my path. And I'm sure there are many of you who have also had these experiences. And I invite you to be available next week and call in to talk about those experiences. Or if you want to connect ahead of time, send an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Send a little bit about your experience and maybe a contact number, and we can get you on the show to talk about your experiences as well. I want to thank you for joining me. This has been Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned for more great programming.